And I was telling Terry there, I said, man, I haven't heard that one in a long time. And how appropriate for today. You know, next time, we're gonna get a little more light on y'all so everybody can see you up there. It looked like the two mystical shadows singing to us. And we're going to talk about, and it's like, you know, the subject, and you pretty much know the passages. We can't change those on Easter Sunday. That's what this is all about. This is the resurrection day we celebrate. We weren't commanded to remember his birth, which we put a lot of emphasis on in this whole world, but we were commanded to remember this. And that Lord's Supper was established to say, hey, whatever you do, do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget what it cost me. And the bread is the body, and the cup is the blood. With the blood, the wine, the blood. And so this we're required and commanded to do, because we have to be reminded and be refilled. If you want to say reinvigorated in the spirit, rejuvenated, because we have to know. You know, we have to know. No, it's okay back there. He's risen. He's not in that tomb. He's all right. That's all right. However, that will tell you, that sound there, and don't worry about that at all. That's how the disciples felt during this time. And that's how everybody else who believed in Jesus felt during this time when this happened. How would you feel? We're in another environment. We're not under that. Well, what if you lived and breathed with him all those years? What if he was his mother? And here's all these disciples, and they've gone through so much, and they've watched him work miracle after miracle after miracle. No matter what he said, would you have been able to comprehend? And just think about it. No matter what he said, would you be able to comprehend that he's going to die? There's no way. If he's raised, he's already raised dead people. He's already given sight to the blind, and he's restored limbs on people, hearing, everything. So why would you think if he can raise someone else from the dead, what's the problem? He can't die. You know, even though, listen, there's a lesson in this, and I know I need to read some scripture here, but just to lead us into this, see, a lot of times we hear, but we don't hear. They heard him say that it was destined for him to die and rise again, but they couldn't. They heard it, but they didn't hear it. And I guess if there's anything that I say just really could be one of the biggest flaws for all of us, and not only in our relationship with Christ, but in our relationship with each other, is we hear, but we don't hear. The words don't sink in. We don't contemplate on them. We don't say, well, wait a minute, what did you mean by that? I hear you, but I want to hear you. You know, how many marriages would be so much happier if we did that, right? Or friendships, relationships. If we said, I just heard the words, but I don't know if I heard. What did they mean, in other words? What did that mean that you just spoke? Because my interpretation of that might be very different than what you mean, and I want to understand what you feel and what you mean. And they couldn't get that with Christ. That's why when they came and arrested him, because we're not going to try to read all this, so I'm just paraphrasing all this for you. When they came to arrest him, that's why they ran. Because they weren't prepared in their hearts for that kind of thing. And you have to realize that deep down in the minds of a lot of those disciples, and I'm not talking just the 12, really ended up with 11, there were a lot more disciples. And we don't see those most of the time. We don't hear about them. But it says that Jesus sent 70 disciples out at one time to go out and into all these cities and places. And he said, if they don't receive you, just knock the dust off from your feet and go to the next place. And they came back and were rejoicing that evil spirits were subject to them and all this. And that's when Jesus made that fantastic revelation. And he said, I saw Satan fall from heaven. You realize, see, do you hear that? Do you hear what he's saying? We often don't. You saw him. You saw him? Which he was saying, don't you see? I was there. I saw him fall. We were victorious. And we threw him, my father and I, out of heaven. I saw him fall. Like lightning. And it's like, listen, hear what he's saying. I saw him. I was there. When he was overthrown, he had this rebellion and tried to overthrow God. And he wanted to be God. And he was one of the highest beings in heaven. And not above Jesus, but one of the highest under him. And he got thrown out for rebellion. And the angels, fallen angels that followed him. We don't understand all of that. But at that time, those angels, many of them had a will of their own. Seems like it's a big mistake to give anything its own will. He gave Adam and Eve their own will, and look what they did. He gives us our own will, and look what we do. But anyway, they came back and said, man, we cast out evil spirits. And Jesus said, yeah, I was there. I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to walk amongst snakes and scorpions. What is he saying? I give you authority to walk around with where all these demons are and what? Crush them. He said, I give you that authority. Do you hear that? You need to be crushing these demonic spirits, not being scared of them and letting them oppress you. And he said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will by any means harm you. And he said, however, don't even rejoice. So you don't even be rejoicing that spirits are subject to you. What was he saying? He said, it's minor stuff. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Do you hear what he's saying? And this is before he fulfilled his victory over Satan and defeated him at the cross. He actually defeated him when he walked out of the tomb alive, because Satan thought he had won his day, and he just didn't see. He heard scripture, but he didn't hear. So today, hear. Let the Lord speak to you. And he's telling these folks, you know, hear me. I have to go in there and I have to die for you, but I won't stay dead. Neither will you. I'm going to rise again. And so we lead up to the passage we want to use today. And one thing led to another. And yes, Judas betrayed him. And he told the folks, and then it went to high priest, and, you know, for a few pieces of silver. Really, it's not changed, right? People do you in today. There's people out there that'll do you in today for just a few dollars. They don't care about human life. A lot of them are in office, by the way. They really are. But nonetheless, they fled because they didn't understand his mission, even though they'd been with him all that time. They left him alone. Before that, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that's where Jesus won his wrestling match with the devil. Let me share one thing with you about that. I would ask you to read that leading up to the passage today. Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked his disciples to keep a little ways from him, and Peter, James, and John. He said, he always took them along, and you'll come a little closer. He said, now I'm going to go over here and pray. Well, you know the story, but I just didn't have time to put it in all the passages to read, because you just keep reading a lot of scripture. We love it, but it gets wearisome. So I just need to tell it. And as he was praying, it says, he became very intense, and he found them sleeping, and he woke them up and said, could you not stay awake 1 hour? And he went and prayed, it says, and the perspiration, the sweat, as it said, began to drop as great drops of blood. It didn't say he bled. It said the sweat dropped as great drops of blood. What all that means, why worry about it? It means he was in agony in his soul, and let me tell you why. Why did Jesus go and pray that intently and then ask the Father? Get this. He asked God, you read this. He asked God, his Father, if it's possible, could you deliver, he used that term, can you let this cup pass from me? Can you let this suffering, this crucifixion pass from me? Have you ever wondered about that? He came for that reason, and the moment is right there coming upon him, and yet he goes in the garden And he prays, and to the point of where he's just perspiring so heavily, it was like great drops of blood falling from him. He was in agony. And he had to pray it out. And he put before God the agony of his heart. He'd seen people crucified. He had to walk by them. I mean, you saw them. If you're going to be in that day over there, and you'd see them around Jerusalem. You don't want to be up there like that. You saw those nails being driven in through their feet and their hands. You may be the Son of God, but you're also the Son of Man. And what does that mean? Listen to this. Do you know where the real battle of the cross was won for Christ? In the garden. And the same for you. We wait till the enemy's attacking and we're under assault, under temptation, and hear what the scripture's saying, really hear in your heart. He's saying the battle of the flesh was won in the garden. When he prayed out his heart, his soul, like every Christian must do. You have to rid yourself of your human emotions or get them conquered by praying it through. Jesus was the Son of God, but he was also fully God, but fully man. And the man part in him had seen enough of that on that cross to say, oh God, help me, my Father. I'm fully God. That part of me is not to worry. It's the man part that has feelings, that feels pain. The lesson there for us is, the many lessons, is so deep. It's like you don't win the battle when the bullets start flying. You win it in training. You train hard, you win hard. He won it in the garden. And for all of us, the lesson there is, there's time to get serious with prayer, with the Word of God, and get down there and say, God, my flesh is so blasted weak that if I was thrown into a tempting act right now, I'd probably give in to it. Be honest. And God, I want your will in my life. I'm going to pray that, but I want you to know that I really don't want to have to go through what you want me to go through. I just like it all to be joyful and peaceful and everything good, and you give me a whole bunch of health and a whole bunch of money. I mean, if we're really honest, how many of us would say that? And what God is saying, let it rip, tell me. My son did it in the garden. If it's possible, let all this pass from me. But as he prayed through that, and this is where we win, the Spirit wins. The Spirit then took complete control. The flesh is removed. The feelings are put in their place. And what did he pray? Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. To get there, you're going to have to do some agonizing praying. And some emptying out of yourself, every one of us. So where we're at in this and what we're looking at today, I want you to look at the prep, because we have to be prepped. You know, those of you that might have a trouble with lustful situations, lustful thoughts, and all, don't wait till you're in it. Pray it out before you get there. God, give me the strength if I'm ever presented with this. I've already won this battle in my own little garden. And I'm not going to give in. Or pornography, or temper, or, you know, I call them cuss fits. Now, I know nobody here has cuss fits, but and others, you know, have them. And I don't know, you hang your foot and fall down, you might have a cuss fit, but I won't look at anybody when I'm saying that. But it could happen. So that brings us to where we are now. We want to look at these passages. He's prayed this through. He's ready for God's will to be done. And the question is, are we prayed through? Are we ready to join him in this experience today? So here it is. I'm going to give you hope here and encouragement. And we're just going to do three things. And first, the title of this, He's Not Here, He's Risen. That's out of the passage. Let me read these. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Strange thing for the Son of God to utter on a cross. Don't you think? If you have never been to the point where you said this, then you haven't been tried hard enough. Every one of us, if it happened to him, it's going to happen to us. There will come a time, as for me, when I'm just there saying, my God, have you abandoned me? Where are you? Why did you let this happen? When I woke up in ICU, I had some strange thoughts. Of course, you're under all kinds of stuff. I don't know, you know, if I could stick everything in you. Tubes everywhere. And I'm going, you know, my first thought was, after where am I? What did I do? What did I do that caused God to allow this? Well, it wasn't long before God began to work me through it. But I had to have my own little garden experience. And we all need them. But for a moment there, I wondered, where are you? Did you leave me? Did you forsake me? And friends, if you ever feel that, express it just like he did. He cried out. Didn't make any difference who was listening. My God, why have you forsaken me? And you're saying, why did he do that? Because he took on the sins of all of us. And he was so filthy with them, God can't look on that. And he turned his face. And for the first time in his entire of eternity, Jesus couldn't feel God looking upon him. Now that's the price paid for our salvation. But it's also to show us that we're going to have those times when we feel forsaken. But God is still there. You just don't feel it. He might turn his face. You read Isaiah and you'll see where he says, I turn my face away for a moment. But. You can read it. With love and compassion forever, I'll have mercy on you. So you look at this. And so let's take this first point, and I changed these as I sent this outline into Ed. Oh, wait a minute. I got some more passage, don't I? I can't stop here. And they heard him calling, you know, they, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who stood there when they heard that, said, I got so carried away, I was ready to get in the message. And this man is calling for Elijah, and one of them took a sponge and was sour wine. That's what everybody loves, sour wine. And put it on a reed and offered it to him to drink. And then so Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And that leads us into this other part in chapter 28. Now after the Sabbath, we know that Joseph Arimathea came, asked for his body, got it, put him in a new tomb, rolled that huge stone on there, and then the priests were so afraid that the disciples were going to come and steal his body and say he rose that they sent a guard out there and they sealed it up. By the way, that's what formalized religion has been trying to do ever since, is seal up God. You do what we tell you to do. Do not have the freedom of the Holy Spirit to do what God tells you to do. There's so many lessons that, thank you, ma'am, because that's a fact. So after the Sabbath, Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake. For an angel of the Lord descending from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it, and his countenance was like lightning, his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He said, I know what you're here for. And then our title. And what we all need to carry home with us, he is not here. He is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And then you can fill in the rest reading it on your own. And so let's take this first heading here, if we have it up there. And because I changed this when I called it, and the cross is the reality of God's love. I shortened some things for you. But the cross is the reality of God's love. So I want you to mark that down. What do we see on the cross? That God's love is real. We read John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And how did he prove that? That Son got on the cross, allowed himself to be put there, allowed them to arrest him, and it was proof that God loves us, that Jesus loves us. Don't you walk out of here today thinking that God doesn't love you, because he truly does. And just because some things have happened to you and could in the future, I pray they won't with you, but if they do, don't let the devil lie to you or anybody else. Don't be like, you're going to start studying some Job here pretty soon, a couple of weeks. Don't be like, let the Job's friends talk to you and tell you, you know, it's your fault and this happened because of this and that. Let me say this to you. Stuff happens and we don't understand it. It's not always, but it's not because we did something or didn't do something. It happened because of something we don't understand, and only God does. And that's where faith comes in. And it's like, you know, God, you proved to me on the cross you love me, so I'm standing in that love. And no matter what I think I see or feel or hear or really feel or see or hear, I'm not going to back off from the fact that your love will never leave me. And no one can take me out of your hand. It was prophesied in Isaiah that God would send his Messiah to be tortured and despised and rejected. You read that. You can read it in Isaiah, read it in other parts of the Old Testament by people. And he fulfilled it. I mean, it's literal right there. It tells you, and Isaiah, man, he covered it to the letter of what was going to happen one day. And it said he would be given for us. He'd pay the price for our sins. That Jesus would suffer for our sins. And we see this reality on the cross. Those he had loved and trained and cherished, and he hugged them, and he ate with them, instituted the Lord's Supper with them, appointed them, chose them to go out into all the world. All those special ones, the moment he was arrested, they abandoned him. So when you feel like that the person you loved walked out on you, they probably did. When somebody you truly trusted stabs you in the back, that business person, that coworker, that aunt, uncle, son or daughter, mom or dad, whatever it was, that just totally, totally blew it and left you stranded. Emotionally just beat you to pieces. So when you see that, let God remind you of this. I, the Lord, know what you feel. I know what it's like to spend every waking moment with a group of people, share everything with them, laugh with them, eat with them, cry with them. And then when my hour of need comes, I know what it's like when they run into the night and say, "You're on your own, buddy." And that's just exactly what they did. Because they were human. And we do it because we're human. And we go through anxieties because we're human. So when you look at the cross, when you hear these words today, remember, you can never be more dejected, more abandoned, more abused, more ridiculed than Jesus Christ. And yet, hanging on that cross, Father, forgive them. They really don't know what they're doing. That's what he said. They don't know what they do. He loves me. And no matter what, he'll always love me. And when people let me down, you need to say this to yourself all the time. When people let me down, God is there for me because He knows what it feels like to be let down, to be really, truly hurt and abandoned. The cross is not a pretty thing like we've made it in Christianity. It's an ugly thing. We've made a beauty out of something horrible. And I'm not saying don't wear a cross and all that, but we have really cleaned it up and beautified it for the church, and there's one right here. And it's the symbol. But don't forget, it sure wasn't pretty in those days. It had a lot of blood on it. The cross does have a magnificent beauty inside of itself because it represents the beauty of God's love for you and me in Christ Jesus. It's all about love, by the way. Everything we're talking about on Easter is about love. Jesus born, lived, died to give us the reality of God's love for us. Never forget it. You hang on to it. Every time you look at this little cross here, any cross anywhere, don't get caught up in the cross. Get caught up in that it's saying to you, it's a message to you and me, I love you this much. Secondly, we look at the tomb. We're looking at what reality is the tomb? Well, the cross is the reality of God's love, and the tomb is the reality of the world's darkness. The devil was laughing, said, I gotcha. Finally gotcha. I couldn't get you to stumble, Jesus, but I got one of your guys to stumble and turn you in. And those guys in there, those high priests, the chief priests, those Pharisees, I've already had them from day one. As long as they walk around those robes and be seen by people, I have them. So the tomb is that reality of the world's darkness, and the tomb had the appearance, listen, the tomb had the appearance of hopelessness, all lost, no hope. When they put him in that tomb, how much hope do you think anybody had then? Listen to me. When you get put in your tomb, the tomb of depression, the tomb of despair, the tomb of panic attacks, and whatever it is you go through, migraines, pain, suffering, when you get in that tomb, man, it's so dark. There's nobody in there. And you feel abandoned, left alone. Does anybody know my pain? Do they know what I feel? You're having those optical migraines. Anybody ever had those? An optical migraine, are you familiar with them? So it's these jagged lights that start going off all around your eye. I mean, it's horrible. It's like lightning flashing and all these multicolored lights go flashing and people have those. That's horrible. But whatever you have and whatever you're suffering, you see, we all get put in a tomb. And we all get enclosed in those things. And I want you to know that when you do, though it seems dark in your life, depressed people just feel like they're in a pit and it's just dark all around them. Don't you remember something? The earth's going to shake. The earth's going to shake. Something's going to shake in your pit, your tomb of depression, your tomb of anxiety, your tomb of despair. There's going to be a shaking. And Jesus Christ Himself will not leave you in that tomb. He's going to roll that stone away from your life. And you're going to see His hand reached out to you and saying, come forth. I've been there and I know how to deliver you from the pit of darkness and despair. Come. Like Lazarus, come forth. You, come forth. And so no matter where you are, no matter where you get, you just remember, I may be down there today, but the ground's going to shake and the stone's going to roll and my Lord Jesus is going to get me out of here because He has come that I might know the truth and the truth will set me free. Oh, that's this Easter thing. You can do that. You can clap as often as you want. It fires me up. The more you clap, the shorter I preach. How about that? Okay. Oh, that worked, didn't it? Okay. Then I'll, in closing, let me wrap this up. Okay. One more thing. We need to look at the reality of the resurrection. That's our next point. And we get to point three. And I'm looking up here because what I gave Ed is a little different than the notes I had. The resurrection is the reality of God's life-giving power. And I wanted to wrap with that. The resurrection is the reality of God's life-giving power. You see, when all seemed lost on the face of this earth, when the disciples were hiding behind closed doors. And I want to give credit here to a couple of brave women. You know something? I got to give them credit. They didn't know what might happen to them. And they were in a time when women had no rights, no authority, nothing. But they were first to the tomb. Aren't you proud of them? And they went in, they stood there. And they were the ones to get to experience the angels. I love that. I just think that's so neat. Maybe it's just to me. You walk up and there's an angel sitting up there, right? And here's all these big old powerful guards in there. And the angel says, hey, I know who you're looking for. I got it. I know exactly who you're looking for. Well, he's not here. He's risen. And you go tell those guys hiding behind those doors that I'm coming to meet them. I'm coming to meet them. And I'm going to show myself to them because I don't stay behind stones. You can't kill me. Now listen to me. Listen. When people are attacking you, when life's throwing everything it can throw at you, take that attitude. You can't kill me. Oh, you can take this body, but you can't get me. Give it your best shot. You're not going to win. And there he is in that tomb. And he walks out, and the angel, I can just see that angel. Can't you see him sitting there kind of cocky? Hi, ladies. I'm sure he didn't answer like that. An angel's voice to me be like, hello, ladies. I know who you seek. Well, he's not here. He is risen. Get this. If I, as an angel, have the power to roll this big old sealed stone away and knock those guys senseless over there, how much power do you think Jesus Christ himself has? I have it because he sent me. Guess what? You have it because he sends you. To do what? Help roll the stones away from other people's dark lives. And say, come forth and experience God's love. The angel came, rolled it away, and Christ walked out of there, and death was overcome. It was conquered. Fear, doubt, depression, despair was defeated, and God showed his almighty power to give everlasting life. And he said, look, I've raised my son. My son's in you. What does that mean to you? I'm raising you up. You are going to rise like I did. Death will not be your enemy because God owns you. And I roll away stones from very sad, depressed people. God showed his almighty power to give everlasting life. And so I close with this. He is not here. He is risen. And Christ in you, your hope of glory. Amen. Oh, our Father in heaven, truly, Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And part of that, Father, is give us our spiritual bread with it and help us to really hear you today and every day. And forgive us our sins, Lord, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. And Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and evil one. And Lord, we thank you because he's not here. He's risen. And now he's in us and made us alive forever. Oh God, yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. All honor to you, Lord. Praise your holy name in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.